It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk to a child psychiatrist who uses telepsychiatry to reach patients remotely in Wisconsin. It's one solution being used to address a shortage of mental health care in rural parts of the state.
First, we're talking about the latest news from this week's attacks on Paris and how they'll affect American foreign policy.
Last Friday, those coordinated attacks in Paris killed 129 people, injured more than 300 others. In response to the attacks, the French president declared a state of emergency.
Authorities have said that the people responsible for the attack have links to the Islamic State, and details are still emerging about the terrorists involved.
On Sunday, France unleashed massive airstrikes on the group's headquarters in Syria, and we learned today that American warplanes have destroyed more than 100 of the group's oil trucks.
Joining us now to talk more about how America and other Western nations will respond to these attacks is Don Heider Markle, professor of political science at the University of Kansas. Don, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Don, what did the American military strategy against ISIS look like before these attacks on Paris?
It's largely been a containment strategy and recapturing some of the territory that ISIS has captured in Iraq and then whittling them down in Syria.
And was France involved in those plans, in that containment?
They have been involved, but in recent months they've sort of scaled back their activities until this weekend, of course, and now they seem determined to continue with a barrage of airstrikes.
So given that France has been less involved in those efforts, why do you think the attackers chose France, targeted France, for these really horrific attacks?
Well, really, all Western countries are basically in Europe and the United States and Canada who have been involved in any way in fighting against ISIS in Syria and Iraq are really targets for ISIS. And for the most part, ISIS has laid out a plan over the past 3 years to suggest that once they move to consolidate their territory in Iraq and Syria, that they will target external targets in the West, with Russia and with regimes in the Middle East and North Africa that they believe to be corrupt.
So certainly a lot of attention is paid when attacks succeed, but there are also attacks that are thwarted that the public doesn't ever learn about. Have there been ISIS attacks in France or elsewhere recently that we know were detected in advance and stopped as a result?
In the UK, in France, and in Belgium, as well as in Germany over the past 12 months, there have been a number of arrests, and the total information about those arrests and the plans that the individuals had haven't been entirely clear, but at least with some of what occurred in the attacks in Paris, we can easily understand that the network available to ISIS actors in Europe is perhaps larger than we thought it was.
Well, and there was not very long ago at all the incident on the train from Amsterdam to France where civilians that were traveling on the train were able to overpower an attacker. Do we know if that, for instance, was linked to this network?
That would be a little uncertain. What was interesting about the Paris attacks that's different from much of what's occurred in the United States and Canada and in Europe to this point is that this seemed to be a mix of individuals who were basically homegrown and some who had at least traveled abroad and may have come from abroad to engage in and plan these attacks. And most of what we've seen prior to this has largely been homegrown activity or self-radicalized individuals who decide to carry out an attack on their own without necessarily much, if any, communication with ISIS Central.
We're talking with Don Heider Markle. He's a professor of political science at the University of Kansas. We're talking about potential reactions and responses from the West to the recent terror attacks that have been pinned on ISIL. And so, as we mentioned, both France and the U.S. have bombed Islamic State targets in the past 2 days. What do we know about the specific targets that they're hitting?
These are targets that would have been on the list for some time. Part of the problem with targeting ISIS strong points in both Iraq and Syria is that we go through a process of sort of making sure that civilians won't be harmed, that these are in fact solely ISIS-controlled areas, and that sort of the so-called moderate rebels in Syria, for example, will not be targeted, as well as civilians. And that takes quite a bit of time and requires some level of ground intelligence. In other words, we can't just do it with drones and satellite technology. We have to have people on the ground somewhere that can check things out in order to make sure that there's not a lot of residual casualties. So that takes time. So these probably had been recently cleared. Why they weren't even targeted, say, 3 days ago versus waiting until Saturday isn't entirely clear. But the targets in Syria pose a much bigger challenge for France and for the United States than do many targets in Iraq.
So similarly to having known what targets would immediately be used in retaliation by French and the U.S., so the French police have executed more than 160 raids across the country and in Belgium over the last couple of days. So it seems like they had a list of potentially suspect areas or people's homes. Why wouldn't they have gone to those earlier?
Right, and I'm sure there's not, for many of those individuals, there's not a lot of direct evidence that they had plans or were intending to commit criminal acts. They have just been on monitoring lists for a variety of reasons. Perhaps they had traveled to Syria or elsewhere in recent years, maybe even fought in Iraq or Syria, but hadn't actually been found. The investigations hadn't led to evidence that they were about to or planning to engage in criminal acts. So that's how they ended up on those lists. And I suspect a lot of those individuals will have to be released at some point, that it will be difficult to bring any kind of formal charges against them. But the problem of especially foreign fighters and self-radicalized individuals has been a much bigger deal in Europe compared to the United States, partly because they've had more people travel to Syria and Iraq to fight. And they have also, the Muslim communities in those countries are less integrated into the broader societies than they are, say, in the United States and Canada.
So today at the G20 summit in Turkey, President Obama said sending ground forces into Syria isn't the answer. Here's his explanation for that.
It is not just my view, but the view of my closest military and civilian advisors, that that would be a mistake.
So what do we think the next step on behalf of the U.S. and its allies will be?
Well, I'm sure the bombing campaigns will continue. The bigger question is, will there be a greater effort to, for example, bring more Kurdish fighters into the battle in Syria, to use more special operations forces, be they U.S. forces or French or other forces, to try to find the targets that we're looking for in Syria and to some extent in Iraq as well. That strategy will probably continue to expand, and our support by dropping weapons and supplies to moderate forces, and in particular trying to help out the Kurdish fighters that are already fighting in Syria and Iraq, to continue trying to support them at higher levels than we did in the past.
Well, Don, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was political science professor Don Heider-Markle discussing how American foreign policy might change after the recent terrorist attacks on Paris.